A burst of light reveals a woman dressed in a white classical robe with a blue stole draped over her arm, standing on top of a shallow pyramid of steps, holding a blazing torch high in her right hand. The logo of Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. A blazing light pierces the darkness as the headlamp and illuminated windows of a sleek American train round a bend and rush forwards. The headlamp lights the words, Image Movers. Flying across the sky on a bicycle, the boy and the little hooded alien from E.T. are silhouetted against a full moon, the logo of Amblin Entertainment. In wonky red capital letters on a black screen, Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, an Image Movers Amblin production. Monster House. A golden autumn leaf clings to the top of a tree. Trees with burnt yellow leaves and the roofs of houses stretch as far as the eye can see. A gust of wind plucks the leaf from the tree. It flies into the air and flutters towards the ground. It lands on a pavement amid lots of other leaves. A tricycle tire runs over the leaf, sending it soaring into the air again.
Hello, fence! La, 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 la,
a little girl with blonde hair tied in two thick bunches cycles along the pavement on a small red trike. She weaves her way between piles of swept-up leaves. A strip of grass lined with trees separates the pavement from the street, and on the girl's right hand are the fences and front lawns of the houses she is passing. Dressed in yellow dungaree shorts over a short-sleeved blouse, the gap-toothed girl wags her head as she sings. She stops with a jerk. The golden brown leaf which has followed her settles on the pavement for a moment, then is gently blown back towards her. It lands in the spokes of the stuck front wheel. The little girl pedals back and forth to try to get her wheel unstuck from the grass. She looks up at an old unpainted house at the top of the lawn. It's made of grey-brown planks of wood with a steep roof and a dark and gloomy veranda. The leaf floats towards the shuttered front door. The girl's big blue eyes widen. The door handle turns and a thin man in a vest and braces steps out of the gloom. The girl pedals vainly on the spot as the man runs towards her, waving his arms.
Do you want to be eaten alive?
No!
Then get out of here!
The girl gets off her trike and starts to run.
My trike!
The man picks it up and breaks off a wheel.
Stay away from my house!
Carrying the two pieces of the broken trike, he lumbers back up the path. The trees in his front garden have no leaves. At the front door, he stops, looks back at the house across the road and glares darkly. A young boy with jet black hair in an upstairs window takes a photo of the man through a telescope. The boy jerks back.
We're gonna be late!
Yeah, Mom, I'm coming!
October 30th. Another tricycle.
I'm coming!
The boy makes a note on a pad. On his desk are more photos of the man across the street.
Mom, he did it again. He took another tricycle.
Okay, honey. We've talked about this.
You cannot stay up in your room all day staring at an old man through a telescope.
But, Mom, there's something wrong with that house.
I'm serious.
What was that?
The boy clears his throat.
I'm serious.
His voice sounds funny.
Someone is hitting puberty. What's happening to my body? Right, buddy?
Maybe you should come with us.
Oh, the boy's too busy. He's got his spying to do.
I'm not spying.
Oh.
Well,
That's okay, buddy. When I was your age, I did exactly the same thing. Of course, it was with binoculars and involved the lovely Jensen twins, neither of which was as lovely as your beautiful mother. Oh. Will you be an angel and help me bring out the incisor?
Oh,
hold on to this,
incisor.
Buddy.
Yeah, I don't want to forget that.
DJ's father hands him a huge molar tooth to hold. DJ's parents back out of their drive.
Elizabeth will be here in a few hours. If anything happens, call the police and hide in your closet.
No, sir.
They back out and hit a small monster.
Ah! What have you done?
I'm okay.
Just let me drive this thing, will you?
Where is DJ? Where's DJ?
You would be so happy if he was under the car, wouldn't you?
Sorry. It's hard to see with the mask on.
Then why don't you keep it off, Chowder?
Why'd you put up your window?
Chowder.
Hi, DJ.
What children?
Bye-bye, baby. Son, you love him, dear, please.
He knows
hey,
that.
Son, you love him.
I don't want to
just
tell him I love him.
You, son.
He knows
just
I love him. Why do you have to roll down the window? We're going
to
be late.
Both love you. That includes your dad.
That's right. He's had enough kisses.
Bye.
DJ rolls his eyes in despair.
Oh, cheer up. It's almost Halloween. In 1 day and 3 hours, it's candy time.
DJ looks miserably at his chubby blonde friend.
Check it out. I got a new ball.
Cool.
DJ bounces the basketball.
Oh, speaking of which, have you decided? Skulls are her crypt keeper.
Chowder.
DJ throws the ball at a hoop.
I don't think I'm going trick-or-treating this year.
What? Come on, you're gonna break a 6-year streak.
Yeah, 6 years of being jumped and egged. Maybe I'm getting too grown up.
Chowder catches the ball and pulls a face at DJ, then starts dancing around him, bouncing the ball as if DJ is a defender for the opposing team.
3 seconds on the clock. I'm playing basketball.
He fumbles the ball awkwardly.
It's time for an in-your-face disgrace!
The ball bounces off the edge of the hoop and back into Chowder's face.
Are you okay?
My nose is in my brain!
Let me see. Oh, my God.
What?
You're a dork. Where's my ball?
DJ and Chowder slowly turn round and look over the road in alarm.
Oh, no.
It's on the lawn of the spooky house opposite. The boys run across the road but stop with their feet on the edge of the pavement. The ball's nearer the house than the road. Chowder's face falls. DJ puts a consoling hand on his shoulder.
Sorry, man. Wait, DJ! You're grown up, now you go get it!
Chowder, your ball just landed on Nebercracker's lawn. It doesn't exist anymore.
Chowder's bottom lip quivers. DJ rolls his eyes.
I paid $28 for that ball. I raked 10 yards and asked my mom for $1.26 times. I never worked that hard in my life.
DJ looks up at the house.
Nebercracker hasn't come out yet.
So
maybe he's sleeping.
He steps onto the grass.
All right, I'll do it.
I'll never forget this. Hurry, though.
Chowder pushes DJ onto the garden path. DJ looks at the ball, his eyes narrowing.
Go.
He pelts across the lawn and is just about to pick the ball up. Nebercracker emerges.
You!
No!
Scrawny Nebercracker runs at DJ, who ducks, loses his balance, and scuffs a piece of lawn. Nebercracker's piercing eyes look from the lawn to DJ.
You're so close!
What have you done?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean...
DJ
runs towards Chowder. Nebercracker catches him.
Chowder, DJ!
Nebercracker pulls DJ back onto the lawn and lifts him up.
You think you could just terrorize my lawn?
No, I'm sorry.
You want to be a dead person?
No, I love life.
This place is not a playground for children.
Got it from now on.
This is my house. Why can't you respect that? Why can't you just stay away from
Nebercracker's bulging eyes narrow, then widen. His gap-toothed mouth gapes wide open, and still holding DJ up by the armpits, he slowly topples forwards, landing on top of him. Chowder clamps his hands to his head. DJ struggles to get up. Behind him, the door to Nebercracker's house slams shut. Inside the house in the darkness, flames burst into life and smoke drifts up the chimney. Outside on the lawn, flanked by bare trees, two ambulance men load Nebbercracker onto a trolley. The two boys watch the medics lift the trolley and click the wheeled legs into place. As they wheel Nebbercracker across the lawn, his trailing hand snags in the grass. DJ watches with guilt-stricken eyes. Something glistening in the grass catches his attention. He runs over and picks it up. It's a gold-colored key. As the medics wheel Nebbercracker away, one caster of the trolley sticks in the grass. The grass seems to hang on to the tiny wheel, and the caster comes off the leg of the trolley and sinks into the earth. Chowder watches the trolley being loaded and smirks.
Whoa.
DJ, a skinny boy in a top with horizontal stripes, looks at him disapprovingly and shakes his head. DJ watches his reflection dwindle in the rear window of the ambulance as it drives away. He looks back at Podgy Chowder.
No siren. Never a good sign.
Seen from one of the upstairs windows, the boys look back up at the house. A crack spreads over the face of the grimy glass pane.
I'm a murderer.
No, you're not.
I'm not? When it's an accident, they call it manslaughter.
I think I'm gonna throw up.
A battered yellow car pulls up in DJ's drive.
Great. Babysitter's here.
See ya, DJ!
Chowder scuttles off down the road.
DJ. Hey, DJ, I just saw an ambulance. Did I miss anything interesting?
DJ ignores her and goes inside.
Hello?
Elizabeth, can I talk to you about something?
Oh, yeah, of course you can, Cantaloupe. We are gonna have the bestest time. I've got tons of neat activities planned.
They already left.
Oh, they did? They're gone?
Yes, and I need to talk to you.
Okay, so the usual deal, indoors by 9, in your room by 11, lights out, your call.
Elizabeth.
And it's Z.
Z?
Now listen up. I control the TV, the stereo, and the phone. I don't do board games, shrinky dinks, or tuck-ins. I'm not your mother. I'm not your friend.
Don't talk to me like I'm a baby, okay? I am practically a grown-up. I don't even need you here, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth picks up a pot plant from the hall stand and drops it on the floor.
Gosh, DJ, why'd you break that?
But I didn't.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Who are they gonna believe? Go to your room.
Fine!
Black-haired, skinny Elizabeth puts a tape in the stereo system. She dances around the living room in her black t-shirt and jeans and picks up the phone. DJ shuts his bedroom door. As he turns towards the window where his telescope is set up overlooking Nebbercracker's house, he remembers the key, fishes it out of his pocket and puts it down on his desk. He goes over to the window and peers out at the house across the street. Dark smoke still drifts up from the chimney. DJ closes the window and lowers the blind. He sits on his bed and picks up a soft toy rabbit. He puts it down and lies on his bed. The light fades outside, and the shadow of the house seeps in through the gap at the bottom of the window and down the wall, spreading like a stain across the carpet. Inside the shadow, lights come on in the two windows and the open door, like eyes and a mouth opening in a sinister head. The light in the bedroom turns red. A huge hand reaches out of the door of the shadow on the carpet and looms up towards the ceiling like a snake rearing its head, watched only by a toy giraffe. It hovers over DJ, then moves closer and strikes. DJ wakes and sits up in bed. It's dark outside the window. He looks up at his bedside alarm. It's 11 o'clock. He picks up the phone.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, very funny. See how you like it.
He presses the callback button. DJ's eyes widen and his brows droop at one end as he realizes he can hear the phone ringing in Nebbercracker's house across the street. DJ goes to the window and raises the blind. He raises the sash and looks out. Smoke is still rising from the chimney. As he stares at the house, behind him, someone wearing Chowder's mask like a monster from a 50s science fiction movie reaches out and grabs him by the shoulders. Elizabeth comes in.
Happy Halloween, doofus!
Nice one, Bones.
Look at his face, that's funny.
You're not supposed to have friends over. Who's this?
This is Bones.
What's up?
He's in a band.
That's right.
And anyway, Cantaloupe, let's not open up the rule book, okay? Since you're up way past your bedtime.
Oops.
No, this is different, listen!
DJ hands Elizabeth the phone and leads her to the open window. She blinks blankly.
Wow. You called the neighbors. Good for you.
I used Star 69. He called me.
Who called you?
Nebbercracker. P.S. He died today.
You lie.
Do not. He died. Now I'm getting phone calls from his house.
A phone call from beyond the grave.
Bones shakes his fingers at DJ.
Serious?
Oh, he's serious. Did you know he was serious?
Come on, man, give her back.
Oh, her? You mind?
Bones kisses the toy rabbit.
Come on, gross!
Come on, Bones.
Wait, hold on, dude. I think she's having trouble breathing. She might have something in her throat. All right, I'll look into it.
Okay, Bones, knock it off. Downstairs, now.
Sorry, kid. Can't play anymore.
Bones tosses the rabbit back to DJ.
You are so funny.
I know, it's like I don't even try and it happens.
Dolefully, DJ puts the rabbit down on the bed and kicks the bedside table. He goes back to the window and looks over at the Nebbercracker house. As he watches, the blind in one of the upstairs windows jerks upwards. He ducks out of sight, then looks back. The blind is down again, moving in a draft.
God, stop doing this!
Chowder is in his bedroom playing video games.
Oh yeah? What's he gonna do? Homicide!
Chowder, where are your parents?
My dad's at the pharmacy and my mom's at the movies with her personal trainer.
All right, meet me at the danger zone now.
Fine.
Bones, I said, knock it off!
Come on, man.
Oh, I'm creeped out.
DJ creeps downstairs.
You know, I saw an ambulance here today.
So?
So, maybe Nebbercracker really did die.
We should be so lucky. The guy is evil.
No, he's just a crotchety old dude.
Oh, really? Z? When I was 10 years old, I had a kite. Awesome kite. I could fly it so high you couldn't see it. One day, it crashed down. I followed the string and it ended right over there, across the street, right at the edge of his lawn.
DJ is listening from halfway down the stairs.
Take your kite.
Yeah, he takes whatever lands on his lawn. But that's not the point. The point is that I saw him talking to his house and kissing it. Besides, everybody knows what he did to his wife.
Why? What? What did he do to her?
He ate her!
Bones tumbles on top of Z. Ah!
What does that mean?
Get out!
Z throws Bones out of the front door as DJ creeps out of the back door.
Prude.
Long-haired, pointy-chinned Bones swigs from a bottle of beer and gazes woozily at the Nebbercracker house.
What are you looking at? Huh? Nebbercracker.
He trudges down the path from DJ's house and over the road, steps onto the grass and hurls his beer bottle at the house. Bones, wearing a denim waistcoat and hoodie, sneers.
You really are dead, aren't you?
He stamps on the lawn, digging and twisting the toe of his shoe into the soft turf.
I'm on your lawn, Nevercracker!
From behind the upstairs window, the house seems to be watching him.
Ah! Never snapper, flipper, dipper! Ah!
He tears at the grass with his hands, then straightens up and gazes at the house. In the open doorway, a glowing red kite appears. His jaw drops.
My awesome kite.
His bleary eyes now wide open, Bones moves as if mesmerized down the path towards the house, one arm outstretched. In the doorway, the kite dances in a red glow. Bones climbs the steps onto the porch. He grabs the kite. He vanishes. Up above, in a sky dotted with clouds, a full moon shines down on the town and far below, picks out DJ as he slips out of his back garden gate. Across the road is a fenced-off building site, where an illuminated sign reads Mayville Luxury Towers. We've drained the lake. Coming soon. DJ runs across the road and pushes through the fence into the building site. He gets to his feet and looks around the huge, dark building site.
Joe!
DJ treads beneath the hydraulic arm of a huge mechanical digger.
Chowder!
He finds himself standing on the edge of a deep pit. Behind him, Chowder appears in the cab of the digger.
Whoa!
Nevercracker's back from the dead.
No way.
Yeah. They leave the keys in here.
You dare me?
Chowder, you're not listening to me. Nevercracker's haunting me, all right? His blood is on my hands. And now he's coming back for revenge.
You're really crazy right now. Have you noticed that? I think you're just freaking out because he killed a guy today. Life goes on. For you. Try and relax. Be cool.
He rests his elbow on a lever. The digging arm starts clawing at the ground. DJ turns off the ignition.
Let's play around! I need your help.
Fine. You want my help?
Yeah.
I got three words for you. Trick or
Chowder treat. Waves his hands in mock threat.
Okay. Whatever.
DJ leads the way to Nevercracker's house. Chowder lags behind. DJ hides behind one of the leafless trees on the edge of the lawn.
Chowder, come on.
They peep out from behind the tree trunk at the wooden house. Nothing moves. Chowder looks fed up.
The haunting is subtle, yet really, really boring. Can I go home now?
Chowder, she'll hear you.
DJ. This is why nobody will sit next to us at lunch. I'll go ding-dong ditch the house, and you'll see. No ghost!
Chowder, stop, please! Chowder, I'm serious. Chowder, come back. Come back here, please, Chowder. Come on!
The porky kid lies down on his belly and crawls on his elbows and knees across the lawn towards the house.
Chowder! Come back!
He comes across Bones' beer bottle and turns melodramatically back to DJ.
Oh, no! A bottle!
Chowder, put that down! Come back, please!
As Chowder crawls on towards the house, the bottle sinks into the lawn and disappears. Chowder reaches the wooden steps leading to the front door, gets to his feet and climbs up onto the porch. The front door is firmly shut. He glances at the handle, then turns back to DJ.
Hey, DJ, who am I?
Get off my lawn!
Chowder puts a hand to his throat, pretending to choke and have a heart attack. He flaps his hands dismissively at DJ, turns back and presses the doorbell. He turns back and tries to give DJ a nonchalant smile, but his face looks worried. The lights in the two upstairs windows come on, as if a pair of giant yellow eyes were opening. The door bursts open, broken floorboards stick up around it like teeth, and the stair carpet comes through the door after Chowder like a monstrous tongue. He flees down the garden path. tongue like carpet, gropes for Chowder but misses him. The door howls like a mouth crying in anger. Chowder and DJ race across the road and in through DJ's front door. The Nevercracker house snarls.
Don't look back! I look back!
In the morning in DJ's house, Z is asleep on the sofa, fully dressed, a pillow over her head. She struggles to her feet and checks herself in the mirror.
Bones? Coming? Don't even think about crawling back here. Oh. Phew. Trick or
treat. A red-headed girl in school uniform holds a Halloween mask in front of her face. Z shuts the door. The girl minus the mask.
Good morning, ma'am. You've just witnessed a simulation of what you'll face this evening. Studies show that households that run out of candy are 55% more likely to be TP'd. To help avert this tragedy, I'm here selling Halloween candy for my school, Westbrook Prep.
Good school. I got kicked out of there. Now, what do you want?
Just trying to get a head start on life and secure a successful future.
You want a successful future? When a guy with tattoos comes up to the drive-thru, give him his burger, not your phone number.
Thank you for the advice. I'll be sure to make a note of it. But back to business. Eggs, shaving cream, toilet paper. Without candy, I'm afraid your house is a bullseye with shingles.
Nice try. It's not my house.
Babysitter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's cut the crap. Maybe the parents you work for left you $40 in emergency money.
Maybe they left me 30.
Maybe you give me 20, I write a receipt for 30, and you pocket 10.
Maybe. And I want 2 extra bags of peanut clusters.
1 bag, and I'll toss in a licorice whip.
You're good.
The redhead turns proudly to her trolley of sweets. In DJ's bedroom, full of lemonade bottles, Chowder sits with a telescope poking through the Venetian blinds. DJ dozes at his desk.
8 a.m. No detectable movement.
No detectable movement.
Hey, DJ, I brought you some
She switches on the light. The boys dive for the light switch. With the light switched off, Chowder goes back to the telescope and peeps through the Venetian blind. Smoke rises from the chimney of the Nevercracker house.
Oh, no detectable movement.
What are you two weirdos up to?
Oh, nothing. Just something in the house across the street just tried to eat us.
Yeah, we've been up all night watching it. We haven't even left this room once. Not even to go to the bathroom. Don't drink that.
Oh, gross. Whatever disease you guys have, I'm sure it's got letters and that they make pills for it.
Z, it's true. There's something evil going on across the street.
That's excellent. I'm really happy for you. Anyway, have you two, astronomers seen Bones? He left last night unexpectedly and he never came back.
Chowder looks at DJ.
Bottle. Of course.
Oh, okay. You know what? I don't have time for this.
Listen, Z. I don't know how to tell you
this. Your boyfriend has most likely been
eaten alive. Z's eyes widen.
Sherry Clausen. I gotta go. Breakfast. Happy Halloween, losers.
Handing DJ a bar of chocolate, she goes. DJ goes back to his notepad. Chowder sits on a stool in front of the window and peers through the telescope. He idly follows the path of a falling leaf and finds himself looking at the young red-headed girl wheeling her trolley along the pavement opposite with a self-satisfied smile.
Hello.
What? What is it?
Oh, nothing.
DJ's brown eye replaces Chowder's blue one in the eyepiece of the telescope. He too sees the smiling redhead. Both boys sigh. They look again. She's heading for the Nevercracker house. A beware sign sinks into the lawn. The boys rush downstairs and fling open the door.
DJ, that's your
The girl is halfway up the path. DJ and Chowder stop at the edge of the Nevercracker's lawn.
Don't go any further. Come here.
Yes, over here.
Are you guys mentally challenged? If you are, I'm certified to teach you baseball.
The
The redhead turns to see the house come alive. She falls back on her trolley. Slabs of footpath lift her high into the air and towards the house.
What do we do?
The boys run towards the house.
Run, Chowder, run!
They grab her as the carpet tongue rolls out. The footpath slabs drop back in place and the tongue disappears into the hallway. The three kids lie gasping on the lawn.
Hey! Hey, there's an angry dad on the phone looking for the one called Chowder!
They get to their feet.
Hello?
Chowder runs over to Z. DJ helps the girl up. They hurry away from the house.
He's worried about you.
She looks down at DJ.
Start explaining.
Right, the house, they're trying to eat us!
All right, stop explaining. I've had enough
of
this.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to see what's happening with that stupid house of yours.
No, you can't.
What is your problem?
Puberty. Yeah, I'm having lots of puberty.
The house seems to be peering down at them.
No more Mountain Dew.
Right.
I'm going to find Bones.
All right, hey, you have fun, okay? Don't worry about us, we'll be fine. And you tell him I said hey, okay? Safe driving.
DJ hangs his head. The redhead taps him on the shoulder.
Oh, hi.
You want to tell me what's going on?
Oh, yeah. I made the whole puberty thing up. Hi.
Z's car pulls away in DJ's bedroom.
Yes, Dad, I meant to call you, but I forgot. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Absolutely. Affirmative. Okay, love you. Bye.
Yeah. And this is, our little
observation post. Chowder pretends he's still on the phone.
Such as it were. Yeah, posters are stupid. I was gonna tear them down and put up some art.
Well, Dad, why don't you kiss my hairy butt?
He turns around.
DJ, got any beer? Well, hello there.
This is Chowder.
Charles to the ladies.
Jenny Bennett. 2-term class president at Westbrook Prep.
That's a tough school to get into.
Yeah, I got in, but decided not to go.
It's a
DJ
girl
smiles
school.
At Chowder's discomfort.
Which is why I didn't. You know, there's a great taco stand near there.
I hate Mexican food.
Jenny looks out through the Venetian blinds. Chowder, putting a manly hand on her shoulder, tries to look cool.
Fascinating, isn't it? Just sits there waiting. Mocking us with its mouseness.
May I please use your phone?
Yeah, sure.
Here. Put it on.
My mother.
Rude.
You know, she's probably not gonna believe you. It's too much for the adult mind to comprehend.
Is this pee? Because if it is, that's really gross.
DJ? You pee in bottles?
What are you talking about? That one's your pee.
It's yours pee.
May I please speak with Allison?
It's really unsanitary.
Her daughter.
It's his
Thank
pee.
You. Excuse me. Mom, I was selling chocolates in Mayville and...
So, you hate Mexican food, huh?
Yeah. You too, huh?
Yeah, in fact, you might say I started hating it first. Outside, in front of the house?
Fine. Let's get technical.
Okay.
I started hating it through the telescope.
You can't call dibs on a girl through a telescope.
Well, you can't call dibs on a girl.
Just did.
Me too.
She didn't believe me.
Authority can be so...
Chowder blows raspberries while squeezing his cupped hand under his armpit. Jenny looks underwhelmed.
Okay. Normally, I don't spend time with guys like you. But a house just tried to eat me, so you've got 1 hour.
All three rush to the window. A small black and white dog sniffs the Nevercracker lawn.
Oh, puppy.
The puppy squats for a pee. The door of the Nevercracker house opens.
Uh-oh.
The carpet tongue grabs the dog.
Didn't see that coming.
Okay. I think it's time to call the police.
Jenny dials. Later, the three kids stand by the house. Neighboring houses have Halloween pumpkin masks outside.
Do you realize what's gonna happen tonight?
Hundreds of kids walking right up to that house.
Wait. Come on. Guys, I think we're overreacting. I mean, think about it. Only a total moron would walk up to Old Man Nevercracker's house.
The door of the house opens and Chowder's basketball bounces down the steps.
Hey, my ball!
Chowder, no!
The bottom tread of the steps bounces the ball into position. It's been marked to look like a pumpkin mask.
It's gonna be a bloodbath.
The ball disappears inside the house.
Good news, the cops are here.
All right, kids, this better be good. I was in the forest wrestling with a bear claw when we got the call. I was eating a donut.
All three of you, step to the car now.
They're at the car. It's a rookie. First week on the job.
Officer, we have reason to believe that there's a dangerous creature inside that house.
It may have killed a man.
And a dog.
Doggy Dale! We've got a situation.
Whoa. What are you doing?
Call him a backup. Didn't you hear what the kid said? There's a dangerous creature inside that house.
We don't have backup. It's just Judy at the station. And this is no situation. It's just a couple tater tots hopped up on too many pixie sticks.
I bet you the dead dog would beg to differ.
What was that?
Nothing.
All right. Time's up, Pee-wees. It's Halloween, and believe it or not, we got things to do.
We do?
Yeah. No, wait, you can't. This thing, it has a mouth, and it comes out and grabs things and pulls them in and eats them.
Yeah, like this.
Okay. The thing is, we're trying to make this sound more real than it normally would.
Problem is, it sounds kind of not real. So we'll see you later.
No! All right. I'll show you. But if things get out of hand...
We'll aim for Bigfoot.
The cop's partner brings out a gun.
That's loaded!
DJ goes a little way down the path and starts jumping up and down on the grass. Nothing happens. Jenny narrows her eyes and shakes her head.
Smart house.
Chowder throws a stone.
Hey! You, both of you, come here. Bring it to the car. Come on. I'm gonna forget about you throwing that rock, because that dance was pretty funny. But the next time any of you mess with this guy's house, all three of you going in the hole. You got it? Now I'll give you 10 seconds to march.
But we need your help. It's your job to help us.
Mm-hmm. One, two, three.
The cop nudges him with his car.
My house is right over there!
They walk along the road.
So much for relying on the government.
Yeah, I know. I hate the government, dude. We're screwed.
But we're not. We'll go to an expert.
They go to an empty diner.
You're looking at the three-time Tri-State Over 14 Thou Art Dead champion. His name is Reginald Skolinski, but they call him Skull.
Who's they?
Me and DJ.
Yeah.
He's the smartest guy on Earth.
So let's go talk to him.
Hey, Jenny, hold on.
Whoa.
Hold up.
Skull is in the game zone right now. And you don't want to mess with him when he's in the game zone.
Fine, so how long is he going to be playing?
The boys look at the pizza delivery man.
Who knows? He once played for 4 days straight on 1/4, a gallon of chocolate milk, and an adult diaper.
The man's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's not coming out of the game zone, then we are going in.
What?
Jenny!
She pushes them towards Skull.
You're not gonna do it. She's like, you're gonna die.
Watch out. Oh, did you see that? I just chopped off your head again. Your head's rolling. You can't even see it because your eyes are on your head.
Sir?
What? I'm busy playing a video game without even looking at the screen. What?
Okay, Old Man Nevercracker's house is possessed, and I need to know how to destroy it before it comes out and tries to kill
me. Calm down. You make me want to throw up in some tinfoil and eat it.
Oh, you like the steel on my blade? It's so cold.
He mimes stabbing, then sheathing his sword.
Possessed house, you say? In my travels to the video store and comic book conventions, I've seen many strange and wondrous things. And I've heard tell of man-made structures becoming possessed by a human soul so that the spirit becomes merged with wood and brick, creating a rare form of monster known as Domus Mectipolis.
Jenny, Chowder, and DJ look at each other wide-eyed.
The house is Mr. Nevercracker. We're its murderous enemies.
Have fun getting killed.
Run, coward.
Ow. Look at that blood.
So, how do we kill it?
You've got to strike at the source of life, the heart.
But houses don't have hearts.
Yes! Okay. Oh. Uh-huh, yeah. You might be right about that.
Skull, with a mustache, takes a pager from his belt.
Sorry, children, but I've got some very, very important business to take care of. I won't be seeing you later.
He grabs a pizza box from off the top of the video game, starts to go, comes back, and grabs a piece of Chowder's candy bar.
Thou art dead.
On the video game screen, a skeletal figure in a cloak invites the next player to insert a coin. Later, Jenny, Chowder, and DJ walk home.
So we need to strike at the heart.
Yeah, but where are we gonna find a heart inside a house?
They look up at the Nebbercracker house.
Ever since Nebbercracker died, there's been smoke coming out of that chimney.
Later, Chowder draws a map of the two neighboring houses with a squashed figure in the road.
The furnace. The furnace is the heart. If we want to put out the fire, we're gonna have to go inside.
Without getting chewed to pieces.
DJ slaps his hand on the drawing.
Dummy. Hey, I was just doodling.
No, Chowder, this is it. First, we build a dummy. We fill the dummy with a few gallons of cold medicine. You can borrow it from your dad's pharmacy.
Say what?
We feed the dummy to the house. House eats the medicine. House goes to sleep.
Look at
this! We get in there, douse the fire, and get out.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Questions?
Yes, are you nuts? I don't want to steal drugs from my father. I don't want to go inside a monster, and I don't want to die.
I say it's worth a shot.
Yes, I agree. Let's do it.
Later, in his father's drugstore, Chowder nervously fills the red bib he wears round his neck with bottles of cold medicine. On his way out, he bumps into a display of Halloween skeletons. He bikes back to DJ's house, where DJ brings an old dust-covered vacuum cleaner out of a cupboard. Jenny builds the dummy figure. They empty three dustbins. Jenny takes a big water gun from the toy box. Chowder gets a smaller one.
That one.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
DJ grabs three walkie-talkies from his room and picks up the old brass key he found on Nebbercracker's lawn. Later, three dustbins make their way slowly over the road towards the Nebbercracker house. DJ and Jenny are inside two of them, their feet sticking out of the bottom as they shuffle along. The third bin contains the dummy, its broomstick arm sticking out from under the lid. As Chowder, on his knees, pushes it along from behind, he starts singing. The dustbins hunker down in the road. DJ lifts the lid of his bin and peeps out at the monster house. Chowder lifts the dummy out of the bin. It's made from the old upright vacuum cleaner, with shoes, baseball jacket, and Chowder's monster mask for a head. He looks towards the house as he sets it down on the curb. Nothing moves. DJ looks at Chowder and nods.
All right, little vacuum cleaner dummy. I'm gonna move you into position. You don't be scared. That's not how I trained you. I love you, vacuum cleaner dummy. Come on.
Chowder puts the dummy on the footpath and crawls back into the road. He hides behind his bin. Okay. DJ taps Jenny's bin. Jenny fires a catapult at the monster house's doorbell. The blinds lift in the upper windows. Chowder plugs the vacuum cleaner into an extension lead. Holding a pumpkin mask in its outstretched broomstick hand, the monster-headed dummy starts to trundle up the footpath towards the front door. Chowder plays out the cable as DJ and Jenny watch anxiously. The door opens, the floorboard teeth appear, and the carpet tongue slides out towards the dummy. But just as it reaches it, the police car appears. The tongue vanishes and the house goes back to normal. The police car runs over the cable and the vacuum grinds to a halt.
So close.
Officers Lister and his skinny black sidekick, Officer Landers, get out of the car.
Littering, loitering, vandalism, vagrancy...
And treason!
No, not treason.
You sure? Because in the
morning... I'm sure! All right, kids, out of the trash cans. Let's go.
Come on! You are the big guy. You see the light? Walk towards it. Bang our key. Come on, keep it moving. All right, drop your weapons. Huh? Pass them to me. Come on.
The kids toss their water guns.
I will shoot you.
Well, looky, we got here.
Officer Lister finds the lead to the vacuum cleaner.
You stay here.
I'm checking this out.
I am on it.
Officer Landers shines his torch on the three kids, even though it's not dark. The fat police officer follows the electrical flex up the garden path and comes across the dummy. He jumps, takes out his truncheon and pokes at it. Its monster head falls off.
Y'all think something's funny? You testing me? Hot tough girl? You disrespecting the badge? You don't want none of this. I'm telling you, test me.
Officer Lister has discovered the bottles of cold remedy. He dips his finger in one, tastes it, spits it out, then turns his back on the others and takes a big swig from the bottle.
That's it. That is it.
You got something to say, Porky, huh? Diva Diva?
That's it. We're taking him in.
That's what I'm talking about. Where are we taking him?
To jail. Let's go.
You hear that? You guys are going to jail.
But, officer, you've got to believe us.
Yeah, 2%. You got the right to shut up.
Okay, the house is a monster.
And to think I believed you.
Ow! Hey, listen, I'm with you guys. My cousin's a cop in Milwaukee. I mean, kind of a cop. He has a gun.
Yeah, they got to love you downtown, Jughead.
Ow. They bundle the kids into the back seat.
We are super cops.
Yeah, that's why I live in a condo.
Young Officer Landers looks back up at the house.
You hear that?
Yep, it's my stomach. I'm starving.
No. That sounds like the dangerous creature. I'm gonna go check it out.
Oh my gosh. This is like trying to wrangle a puppy. All right, I'll be back.
Officer Landers presses himself against the wall of one side of the door, his gun raised. Officer Lister takes the other side. Landers makes incomprehensible signs to him.
What?
Landers somersaults into the garden and goes round to the side of the house. The house shifts and groans.
Huh?
Lister steps down to look.
Where you at, spooky creature?
A tree root snakes through the ground under the grass towards Landers. He points his gun and torch.
Freeze!
The tree grabs his gun.
Hey, what you doing? You can't do that! That's an officer's weapon! That is illegal!
The tree lifts him into the air.
I'm coming, buddy!
Put me down!
I'm gonna go get backup!
I thought there was no backup!
I'm getting
you! He runs, the tongue grabs him. He disappears into the house. The tree throws Landers into the house after him. The door slams shut.
Oh my god. I think I'm having a stroke.
Just try to stay calm, okay? We'll be all right if we just stay calm.
A tree leans down and grabs the police car, lifting it off the ground and starting to crush it. The kids cower in the back as the house opens its mouse-like door and porch and roars.
I'm too young to die!
The tree holds the police car out towards the house, and the porch chomps down, biting it in half.
Jenny! I've always loved you!
It swallows the front of the car. The carpet tongue drags the back of the car towards a gaping, throat-like hole at the end of the hallway. They climb out of the broken rear window and run for the front door. It slams in their faces. On the outside of the house, the blinds come down on the two upper story windows like eyelids closing. The porch rails straighten and mend. The wooden shingles lie back flat on the roof, and the broken planks of the clapboard walls repair themselves. Inside the house by the closed front door, DJ Chowder and Jenny look back down the eerily green-lit hall. The carpet lays itself back down on the stairs, and the gaping hole in the floorboards that swallowed the car slowly closes over.
We're dead. You've killed us, and now we're dead!
Shh! I don't think the house knows that we're in here. I bet it thinks we're still in the car.
Listen. It sounds like it's sleeping.
The only way that we're gonna get out of here alive is if we find the heart, we put out the fire.
Maybe we should examine our other options?
Sure, other option. We wait here and do nothing until it wakes up and eats us.
Find the heart, put out the fire. Got it.
The three of them explore the hallway using flashlights mounted on the top of their water guns, which they rescued from the back of the police car. Chowder's flashlight picks out some red metal boxes on a bench.
Explosives. It's so cool.
DJ finds a pair of binoculars mounted to the wall by an expanding metal arm. He shines his torchlight over them. He swings the binoculars away from him towards a hole in the wall.
He was watching me.
DJ!
Jenny has found some photos.
Did you ever see a wife?
People used to say he had one. But he fattened her up. And he ate her.
Ew.
Next to the photo of his ugly, obese wife is a photo of a young Nebbercracker among a group of soldiers.
Demolition squad.
Chowder bumps into something.
Sorry. Come on.
Chowder hurries after DJ and Jenny.
Quiet. Don't worry, I have a very light step.
They look around the dingy hall. Hanging above the bottom of the staircase is a chandelier of glass balls. Chowder catches sight of it in his flashlight and jumps back.
There! Right there! Shoot it!
They squirt it with their guns. It glows red. The throat-like hole opens at their feet, swirling with water. The front door opens and the house spits a gob of water out onto the path. The door closes and a shaft of blue light shines down through the window above it, moving about the hallway as if searching for something. Eyes wide, they press their backs against the wall. Passing them by, the shaft of blue light briefly illuminates the dangling chandelier of glass globes. Jenny gives Chowder a withering look.
What? I thought if I shot the heart, then...
That's not the heart.
Then what is it?
Well, if those are the teeth, and that's the tongue, then that must be the uvula.
Oh. So it's a girl house.
What? No, it stimulates the gag reflex. Everyone has a uvula.
Not me.
The stair carpet tongue slowly lays itself back down, and the throat hole in the floorboards closes up. The shaft of blue light fades. DJ gingerly tests the floorboards with his feet.
No!
He shines his torch up to the landing.
Okay, let's move.
He and Jenny move towards the door by the bottom of the stairs. Chowder, his cheeks quivering, brings up the rear.
We need to move quickly and quietly. Don't touch anything. And stay together.
DJ! Wait!
All three fall as the floor gives way under DJ's feet.
I'll save you.
Chowder sits up and looks for his torch. It still works. The basement floor is littered with toys. His torch beam picks out Jenny. He jumps and squirts her.
Chowder, knock it off!
Sorry. I thought you were...
DJ! Chowder, it's a toy.
Oh, yeah.
Where's DJ? DJ!
Over here.
He's standing by a huge cage.
Whoa. Look at all these toys.
This must be where Nevercracker kept his stash.
Stash. I think you guys should have a look at this.
Above the cage is an old fairground sign.
Constance, the giantess.
Where the two sides of the cage meet at a narrow point, they're padlocked together. DJ touches the padlock's keyhole cover.
The key!
Come on, DJ, we don't have time for this.
Yeah, we've got to find a way out of here.
DJ unlocks the padlock with the old-fashioned brass key he found on Nebbercracker's lawn.
What are you doing?
DJ pushes open one barred wall of the cage and steps inside. Jenny follows him. Chowder hangs back.
We have a ping-pong table in our basement.
On the floor is a huge, fat human shape lying on its back.
Constance! Holy moly! He really did eat her!
Couldn't have. Whole body is buried in cement.
DJ shines his torch around the cage, picking out candles in holders, a heart-shaped box, and other items which have been placed around the huge cement body.
Look at all this stuff. Why would he build her a shrine if he murdered her?
Maybe he just felt guilty or something. DJ, can we please get out of here?
Shh.
DJ steps closer to the body.
I always knew you were hiding something, Mr. Nevercracker.
He slips and falls forward.
DJ!
His nose butts up to Constance's concrete nose.
Way to go, big nose!
The concrete shell slowly cracks and crumbles, revealing a human skeleton inside. In the upstairs windows, the blinds open and lights come on. A brick falls, almost hitting them.
It's awake! Run!
They run back to the bottom of the hole. The piercing beam of blue light shines down and finds them. They run. Chowder and Jelly fall down among the toys. The blue light finds DJ. It moves on, leaving him unharmed. Further off, Chowder gets his breath back. He looks round and grins.
Hey, I know that sound.
He gets up. The ball bounces just in front of him.
My ball! Where are you going? Come here. Hey. Chowder, come back! You get back here.
He grabs it.
Ah, gotcha!
Slinky bed springs drop down and grab him.
Killer Slinky!
He vanishes.
Chowder, leave me alone!
A pair of wide metal pipes uncoil from the ceiling and attack Jenny. She's sucked up into the trumpet-like mouth of one of the pipes and disappears. DJ looks around. He's all alone in the toy-strewn basement.
Oh, no.
He tests out the rickety basement steps and gets two steps up. The wooden step behind him snaps in two and grabs his ankle. He pulls free, climbing the staircase as it disintegrates behind him. He bursts through the doors at the top of the stairs and finds himself teetering above the edge of the throat-like hole in the floor. Chowder and Jenny are there too. Chowder slips into the throat but hangs onto a floorboard. DJ lies flat on the floor and reaches down for his hand.
Gotcha!
DJ, look out!
The tongue plucks DJ into the air and throws him down the throat. He grabs Chowder's legs.
The uvula!
Jenny runs up the stairs and leaps up onto the glass chandelier. She loses her grip and falls into the throat, but manages to grab onto DJ, who's holding onto Chowder. The chandelier slams back up against the ceiling, which starts to crack. The throat fills with water.
DJ! Chowder! Mommy!
The house opens its mouth and vomits the three kids out into the night, together with bits of wood and one of the red boxes of explosives.
Did we just get upchucked?
The uvula, nature's emergency exit.
The house heaves and shakes. The threesome scramble to their feet.
That's it. Another great idea, DJ. Brilliant.
What do you want from me, Chowder? I don't see you coming up with any big ideas.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Do you want to hear my big idea? I'm going home to make a pretzel sandwich. See ya.
Chowder, the house is still alive and you're gonna wuss out?
I risked my life for you! I stole drugs for you, and I could have died in there!
Yeah, me too!
Yeah, but you're the one that killed Nevercracker in the first place!
Getting your stupid ball back!
You guys, stop fighting! You're acting like babies!
We are babies! What were we thinking? We tried to put a house to sleep with cold medicine. How lame can you get?
Where are you going?
I'm going home. I suck.
As DJ crosses the road, an ambulance knocks him down.
At least it's an ambulance.
Jenny and Chowder run up to DJ.
DJ?
DJ sits up, staring into the ambulance headlights. The driver's door opens and a pair of feet appear. DJ peers round the corner of the ambulance, his eyes widening in disbelief. It's Nevercracker.
It's a ghost!
Chowder throws a stone at him.
On yourself. Get away!
His arm is in a sling.
He's not a ghost. He's not dead. I'm not a murderer.
Of course I'm not dead. Who said I was dead? You'll be dead if you don't scram! Don't you know what day this is?
In a neighboring street, children are trick-or-treating.
I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time.
Nevercracker looks back at his house with a hopeful smile.
Honey,
I'm home.
As he walks down the path, the door bangs and the roof tiles rattle.
Oh, look at you, dear. Shingles are all ruffled. The windows are cracked.
He reaches down for the red metal box on the lawn.
Oh, but it's no problem, sweetheart. It's no problem at all.
It's her. The house is her.
TJ, what are you doing? Come back! Where are you going?
Paint and varnish can't handle.
Mr. Nevercracker!
The old man turns.
I know about Constance.
What? What do you know? You don't know anything.
The house frowns and Nevercracker advances towards DJ.
You were in my house?
He stumbles and almost falls. DJ supports him.
You didn't kill her, did you?
Nevercracker's eyes glisten and he shakes his head.
I love her so much.
In flashback, young Nevercracker sits in a carnival audience, dreamy-eyed, waiting to see Constance the Giantess. The curtains rise on an obesely fat woman sitting in a show ring. Children throw fruit. She falls to her bulbous knees and then onto her side. Night falls and she's in her carnival cage on wheels, her head bowed, her expression forlorn. Nevercracker comes up.
Hello.
He looks into the cage.
It's okay. I can take you away from here. Would you like that?
Constance rolls her eyes and smiles.
Yes.
She nods happily. Nevercracker hitches the cage on wheels to his truck and drives off. Later, he shows Constance a building plot for sale.
All right. Okay, open your eyes. Now, it's not much, I know, but just...
Constance picks him up in her arms, and their new house starts to materialize before their eyes. But children still throw stones at her.
Get away from my house! Rip them to bits.
Nevercracker starts to hack at Constance's cage with his axe.
Constance! What's wrong? Are you hurt?
Hurt? Yes, I'm hurt! Those criminals are attacking our house!
Now. They're just kids, dear. It's Halloween.
No, it's my house, and they're hurting me!
Constance, look at me! Look at me! As long as I'm here, I will never let anyone hurt you. Constance!
You vandals! You hooligans! I'll get you!
She grabs Nevercracker's axe. He grabs it back, and Constance topples into the foundation pit of the cellar. A mixer load of concrete falls on top of her. Still in flashback, the house is completed.
So, I finished the house. She would have wanted that.
A newsboy cycles past.
She died, but she didn't leave.
The house hurls the newspaper back at him. Nevercracker puts up beware signs.
And that night, that one night of every year, I had to take precautions.
Trick or treat!
I had to.
Nevercracker shouts at kids from a window and the flashback ends.
Hey! You! Stay away from my house!
She attacks anyone who comes near. Go!
I'm coming, dear.
Go!
No, way! I can't let you do this, Mr. Nevercracker. I know that you've been protecting us all these years. But now it's our turn to protect you. Let her go.
The house grimaces down at them.
But if I let her go, I'll have no one.
That's not true.
DJ holds out his hand, and Nevercracker, in his hospital gown, takes it. The house glares. The two trees on either side of the house become attached to the roof-like arms and pull their claw-like roots free of the ground. DJ drags Nevercracker down the path as the house starts to heave itself forwards on its tree trunk arms, its eyes blazing. Nevercracker stops to snatch up the red box of explosives.
The house is alive!
The three children and Nevercracker hurtle down the street, with the house piling into electricity cables as it follows them. DJ opens a metal gate in a fence and leads the others through it. Chowder stops to close the gate behind him.
Trying to slow the house down!
Move it!
They pelt down a side street with a creaking house right behind them. DJ drags a metal rubbish skip on casters into the path of the house. As he runs on, he passes Nevercracker, who's gasping for breath.
Come on, Mr. Nevercracker! Come on!
I can't.
Nevercracker props himself against a fence.
Mr. Nevercracker, hurry!
Go on! I'll be all right.
DJ runs. Nevercracker disappears in a cloud of dust as the house draws level with him. The three kids reach the end of a narrow lane and bolt a wooden gate. Across the road is the neon sign for Mayville Luxury Towers. The kids squeeze through the fence onto the construction site. The house is almost upon them when a brick lands on its tiled roof. The house turns to see who threw the brick. Down the lane, Nevercracker stands under the light of a street lamp.
You stay away from those children, Constance!
The house lurches forwards towards Nevercracker on its tree trunk arms like a huge, smoking, breathing monster. It opens its mouth and roars. Nevercracker stands calmly, gazing up into the monster's face. The wooden teeth withdraw and the mouth closes. DJ watches through the fence.
Oh, now. There, there, girl. Oh, my sweet.
He strokes one of the porch steps.
You've been a bad girl, haven't you? You've hurt people. Oh, Constance. We've always known this day would come, haven't we? Oh. Now, I have to make things right.
The skinny old man looks down and shakes his head.
I have to make things right.
He reaches into the sling on his arm and brings out three sticks of explosives. The house flinches back.
I've always done what's best for you, haven't I? Haven't I, girl?
DJ pulls Jenny and Chowder away from the fence.
Come on, let's move.
Nevercracker lights a match. The house backs away.
Let this be the right thing to do.
The house grabs Nevercracker and seems about to eat him. But DJ, Jenny, and Chowder crash through the fence, driving the huge digger.
Get your grubby branches off the old man!
Chowder raises the digger's arm.
Dig down!
And smashes the bucket into the house. The house drops Nevercracker and the dynamite. DJ runs up to him. He hands DJ the explosives.
Take this. You have to help me, please. I know you can do it.
DJ takes the sticks of dynamite.
Go on.
The digger is still attacking the house.
Hanging on to drive this thing!
I don't...
Chowder pulls levers this way and that. DJ looks up at the smoking chimney. He lights a match.
Jimmy leads to the heart.
The house knocks the digger, sending Jenny flying into the construction pit. Its other tree root hand knocks DJ flying. DJ tumbles, somersaulting backwards down the deep, dark construction pit and lands on Jenny, who's lying face down at the bottom.
Jenny, are you all right?
I'm not sure.
DJ picks up his sticks of dynamite and sees that the fuse has gone out.
DJ, get rid of that thing!
I'm working on it. Chowder, I need you to get the house down under that crane!
Think you can do that?
Piece of cake!
Chowder drops his walkie-talkie and pulling back the levers plows the digger into the house, teetering on the edge of the pit. DJ and Jenny scramble up out of the pit and dash to the distant crane.
You think you can just mess with my friends?
Chowder pushes the digger closer to the edge of the pit as the other two run on. The house pushes the digger over the edge of the pit. Jenny sees what's happening. The house, walking on its tree trunk arms, propels itself down into the pit, slithering down after Chowder. The digger rolls to a stop at the bottom of the pit.
Mommy!
The The house hits the bottom and smashes into smithereens. Shaken and barely visible in the choking dust, Chowder crawls out of the digger's cab.
Hey, guys! Look who just won! It's me, the screw-up!
Way to go, Johnny and Jenny!
DJ and Jenny hug, but immediately let go, looking all embarrassed.
Sorry.
Come on! Yay! Yes, look at me!
Behind Chowder, the pieces of the house begin to reassemble. Chowder looks up imploringly.
You can't do that! It's not fair!
The monster is a huge ball of spiky planking with a mouth, eyes, and legs. DJ runs to the bottom of the enormous crane. As Chowder gets back in the cab and fights off the monster, DJ, wearing his walkie-talkie, makes his way up the ladder. Chowder is being pushed backwards.
That's it, Chowder! Keep her coming!
The monster's chimney is blazing and smoking.
You ain't nothing! You're a shack! You're an outhouse!
The monster bites down on the digger's hydraulic arm. Chowder hangs on as the digger wobbles on the edge of another deep construction pit. Nearby, DJ and Jenny climb the crane. The digger's arm snaps off. The monster picks up the digger and shakes it. Chowder plummets to the ground. DJ nears the cab of the crane. Glass from the cab of the digger rains down around Chowder as the monster shakes it. The monster chases Chowder. DJ watches from above, then looks along the enormous arm of the crane.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Jenny kisses him.
Go.
I kissed a girl. I kissed a girl on the lips.
DJ, smiling goofily, crawls along the arm. Chowder turns round and pulls faces at the spiky monster.
Sorry!
Jenny is right behind DJ on the arm of the crane.
DJ, hurry!
DJ nears the hook of the crane. The monster's wooden teeth grab Chowder's little red cape and lift him up.
I'm flying!
On the count of three, I want you to light the dynamite.
Okay, I got it.
Chowder undoes his cape and falls to the ground. Jenny lights the explosives.
DJ!
DJ accidentally swings down and away on the crane's hook and cable, leaving Jenny holding the lit sticks of dynamite. She throws the explosives. DJ, swinging on the cable, catches them and swings back towards the tower of the crane. The monster looks up at DJ. DJ launches himself, swings between the monster's waving arms and throws the lit dynamite down the chimney. Chowder sat on the ground, scrambles to his feet. DJ swings down towards Chowder and grabs him. The monster explodes. A glowing fireball blossoms and fades. Jenny, her legs covered in soot, climbs down from the crane. She goes over to the trench where DJ and Chowder are hiding. Glowing sparks and embers drift down like shooting stars. The boys' heads appear, blackened with soot. DJ climbs out. Chowder, smiling hopefully, holds out his arms for the other two to help him up. They walk across the pit.
Shh!
Do you guys hear something? It's over there. Come on.
They make their way through the smoke. Amid the falling sparks, Nebbercracker is dancing with an enormously fat woman made of smoke. He lets go of her hand, and she drifts away.
Goodbye.
The children solemnly watch the old man. Nebbercracker puts his hand to his heart and weeps. He sinks to his knees, clutching the door handle of the house. DJ comes up to him.
I'm sorry, Mr. Nebbercracker, about your house.
And your wife. Or your housewife.
Nevercracker looks up at DJ.
45 years. We have been trapped for 45 years. And now?
He grabs DJ's wrist and stands up.
We're free.
We're free! Oh, thank you, friend!
He hugs DJ with his good arm.
Oh, thank you all! Oh, we're free!
He hugs all three children as more glowing embers drift down. Later on DJ Street, the little blonde girl whose trike Nevercracker broke is dressed in a sunflower costume and is carrying a trick-or-treat basket. She makes a scary face, then hurries over towards the gaping basement of the Nevercracker's house, where DJ's handing out toys to a queue of trick-or-treating children.
Here you go.
Wow. Thanks.
Happy Halloween. Next.
The sunflower girl comes up.
What happened to Nevercracker's house?
It turned into a monster, so I blew it up.
She nods wisely.
Trick-or-treat!
We're gonna need a tricycle.
One tricycle coming up.
Tricycle.
Hello, tricycle. I missed you so much. Thank you, mister.
Bye now.
A car pulls up at the front of the house. Jenny, her face still grimy, waves.
There's my mom.
She turns to DJ and Chowder.
We should hang out again. Soon.
She hugs them both.
Yeah.
See ya.
The sooty-faced boys wave wistfully as Jenny runs down the path.
Good luck with the puberty.
She grabbed my butt.
That's nice, Chowder. Hey, Mr. Nevercracker, it's time to go.
Oh, you go on. I've got some work to do.
He tosses Chowder his ball.
Right, thanks.
I'll see you around.
All right, bye.
Hey, stay off my lawn. I'm just kidding.
You think you'll be okay?
Yeah, you'll be fine. I'll go on vacation, get some color. Maybe you'll meet someone new. This time, maybe a nice beach house. Hey, DJ, look who's here.
Yes, I can see that. Thank you.
No biggie.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Dad.
DJ's mother turns round.
Ah! What the heck? No, don't tell me. Let me guess. Dirty Pirates?
That's it! Dirty Pirates!
Fun, fun! Oh, you look adorable! Have fun tonight.
DJ's parents go inside. Chowder tosses his basketball at the hoop in DJ's driveway. It jams between the hoop and the back plate. The boys look at it glumly.
You know, you're right. We're definitely too old for trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. On the other hand, we've been working all night.
DJ wipes his finger across Chowder's dirty face and uses the soot to blacken his own eyes and give himself a mustache.
Candy time?
Candy time.
We're back! Yes!
Chowder lumbers out into the street with DJ hard on his heels. Lights glow from behind the windows of all the houses as children in Halloween costumes go from door to door. A thin column of smoke rises from the site of the Nevercracker house. From the gaping remains of the basement, a hand claws its way to the surface. His face smeared with soot, Bones looks around in a daze.
Whoa.
He climbs out, his kite strapped to his back. Audio description by IMS for Sony Pictures Releasing, directed by Gil Keenan. Screenplay by Dan Harmon and Rob Schwab and Pamela Petler. Story by Dan Harmon and Rob Schwab. Produced by Steve Starkey, Jack Rapke. Executive producers Robert Zemeckis and Steven Spielberg. Executive producer Jason Clark. Associate producers Heather Smith-Kelton, Bennett Schneier. Another hand reaches for the rim of the basement pit where the Nevercracker house used to stand. It's the portly police officer Landers. He heaves himself out onto the grass, stands up and dusts himself off. His skinny black partner Lister crawls out after him, eyes wide with shock.
Did we just get...
It's Halloween, right? What do you say you and I go out and inspect some candy, huh?
We should go eat some candy, too.
That's a good idea. Okay. All right. Let's go eat some candy. Lots of yummy candy.
Like carrots.
All right, where's the car?
Skull.
And that is how I slayed that mystical dragon.
Oh, yeah?
Great. Come on, baby, we're out of here.
Not so fast, Bones. Times have changed. Skull's not like you. He gives me the respect I deserve and makes time for me.
Whatever.
Bones slouches off.
Bones!
The little dog that peed on the lawn scrambles out of the pit. A pumpkin Halloween face stands grinning horribly by the edge of the pit. The dog cocks its leg and pees into the pumpkin's mouth. The candle in the pumpkin goes out with a little puff of black smoke. Steve Buscemi, Nick Cannon, Maggie Gyllenhaal, John Heder, Kevin James, Jason Lee, Catherine O'Hara, Kathleen Turner, Fred Willard, Mitchell Musso, Sam Lerner, Spencer Locke in Monster House. Director of Photography, Xavier Perret-Grabeau. Production designer, Ed Vareau. Edited by Adam P. Scott, Fabienne Rawley. Visual effects supervisor, Jay Red. Music by Douglas Pipes. Casting by Victoria Burrows, Scott Bolland. Costume design by Ruth Myers. Unit production manager, Jason Clark. First assistant director, Aldrich Porter. Second assistant director, David Hyman. Character animation, Leeds, Jordan Harris, Michael Kimmel, Robert Fox, Rick Glenn, Jeff Hsu, Dennis Samiloff. Animators, Alfonso Alpuerto, James Baker, Thomas Bland, Jamal Bradley, Tom Bruno Jr., Benjamin Ignazio Cinelli, Stefan Couture, Paul Davies. Imagery and animation by Sony Pictures Imageworks, Inc., Culver City, California. Animation supervisor, Troy Saliba. Visual effects producer, Chris Forsyth-Smith. Visual effects executive producer, Debbie Denise. Digital producer, Eric Scott. Digital effects supervisor, Seth Morey. Co-animation supervisor, T. Daniel Hofstedt. CG supervisors, Theo Balick, Patrick Cohen, Francisco X. DeJesus, Daniel Eaton. Visual effects art directors, Michael Sheff, George Zahayada. Supervisor, Albert Hastings. Modeling supervisor, Jim Doherty. Character setup supervisor, J.J. Blumenkranz. Pipeline supervisors, Tad Giello, Bert Van Brand. Visual effects editor, Elaine C. Andrianos. Digital production managers, John Creedman, Michael Levy. Sound designer, supervising sound mixer, Randy Thom. Motion capture line producer, Peter Tobiansen. Motion capture associate producer, Aldrich Porter. Cast in order of appearance. Little Girl, Ryan Newman. Nebercracker, Steve Buscemi. DJ, Michael Musso. Mum, Catherine O'Hara. Dad, Fred Willard. Chowder, Sam Lerner. Paramedic 1, Woody Schultz. Paramedic 2, Ian McConnell. Z, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Bones, Jason Lee. Jenny, Spencer Locke. Officer Landers, Kevin James. Officer Lister, Nick Cannon. Reginald Skull, Skolinski, John Heder. Constance, Kathleen Turner. Bully 1, Eric Walker. Bully 2, Matthew Falhey. Kevin the Dog, as himself. Casting associates Patty Ryan, Amanda Burns, extras casting Bill Dance, motion capture stunt coordinator Pat Romano, post-production sound services by Skywalker Sound, a Lucasfilm Limited company, Marin County, California. Supervising sound editor, Dennis Leonard. Sound mixers, Gary A. Rizzo, Rick Klein. Assistant sound designer, additional sound mixer, William E. Files. Dialogue ADR supervising editor, Jonathan Null. Music, A Little More Love, written by John Farrar, performed by Olivia Newton-John, courtesy of Geffen Records, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Merciful Hammer, written and produced by Dee Sardi, performed by Ralph Saines, Dee Sardi, John Schmerzel, and Bobby Jar Zombeck. Thou Art Dead, written and performed by Gil Kennan. Halloween, written by Susan Ballion, Stephen Bailey, Peter Budgie-Clark, and John McGeoch. Performed by Susie and the Banshees, courtesy of Polydor Limited UK, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Columbia Pictures Industries, Inc. and GH1 LLC, all rights reserved. Columbia Pictures Industries, Inc. is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws.
Hello.
The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Columbia Pictures. A Columbia Pictures release. A Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.